Everybody good? Okay. Well, let's open with prayer. We're going to get into the word, and we're going to have a good time today. God is faithful. Father, we thank you and praise you so much for your word today. Father, we love you. We give you honor and glory and praise for everything that you're doing in us and through us by your Spirit. And Father, we acknowledge your word today. We exalt your word as you do, Father. You say that you exalt your word even above your name. We know that your word is, in fact, the essence of you. And so we esteem your word today, Father. We acknowledge that we don't know as we ought to know. But we come humbly before your word today, Father, and we say, teach us, Holy Spirit. You are the precious teacher of the church, and we do not know as we need to know, but you know all things. So teach us. We open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. And we thank you for this time together, Father, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen, amen. Well, are you good? Turn to the girlfriend next to you and say, you good today? You good today? Everybody's good. We're good. Okay. We're good. Yeah. Well, anyway, you know, we've been in a series on faith. We've been in a series on faith that's been so amazing. How many of you have been totally blessed by this series that we are in? I don't think we can get enough teaching in this area, because the God of this world system is fear, doubt, unbelief, hate. That is the God of this world system. And he's yelling really loud these days through the TV, through every area of media, through the social networking we do. He is running rampant. But Jesus is on the throne. And so we have to keep lifting up the word of God, shining the light, filling our hearts with the word of God, so that we can overcome that spirit of darkness that's in the world. Amen? So I personally don't think we can get enough teaching on faith and faith in God's word, because it's just going to continue to fill you and cause you to grow. And I so appreciated Dr. Vanessa last week teaching on worry, because worry is nothing but doubt and fear, like she told us. And so we're not going to worry. We got delivered from that. And that song at the end was so amazing. His eyes on the sparrow. And so he cares for us. We can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. Today I want to minister to you. Pastor Deborah touched on something a few weeks ago. And she actually did a good teaching on it, but I just felt led to extend it a little bit further on strongholds and tearing down strongholds in your mind and some keys on how to do that. But I've entitled this message, There's a Miracle in Your Mouth. There's a miracle in your mouth. Ladies, we are such good talkers. You know, we tell you to hug three people and you spend 20 minutes doing that. We are such good talkers. We are not slim on words. And if we could just grasp this fact that there is literally a miracle in our mouth, and that we can change our destiny, change our world through the words of our mouth. Number one, we'd use our words more wisely, definitely. But number two, we wouldn't be so depressed about our situation. We would know that there's hope, and that God has a way of turning things around. Well, in Hebrews 11:3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. The things that are seen were not made of things which are visible. They were made from something invisible, God's word. Everything we see in creation and in nature, God created by speaking it forth, by his word. He spoke and the worlds became in existence. And so that's how everything we see was created. And we were created in God's image. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says that we are spirit, soul, and body. We are a three-part person, just like God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is three parts, we're three parts. We're created in his image, and he's on the inside of us. And so it's not us in and of ourselves changing our situation, being a control freak and just changing everything around us. But it's the word of God sown in our heart, spoken out in faith, that will in fact change the world around us. Do you believe that? Well, we live in two worlds. We live in a spirit world, and we know that the spirit world preceded the natural world. But we live in this natural world. And there's some things in this natural world that need to be changed. So I told you that we're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Our spirit always wants to serve God, always wants to do what God wants us to do. And our flesh is after the world. And so we got to watch our flesh. It'll go in some wrong directions. You know, I tell people you got to treat it like a brat child. You know, you don't give in to your flesh. But the pivotal point is your soul. It's your soul area, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The decision factor. You. When you make a decision to yield to your spirit, you have spirit results, right? You have good results. When you decide to yield to your flesh, you have death, fear, hell, everything break out. It leads you down a wrong path. So the pivotal point is your feelings, is your soul area. And that the devil knows that. So what he does is he shoots fiery darts to your mind. He shoots fiery darts. Another translation calls them flaming arrows. He shoots them to your mind. And many times you don't realize that that first thought came from him. He shoots them to your mind, and then you have a decision to make. What are you going to do with that thought? And we're going to talk about strongholds today. We're going to talk about what you do with the fiery darts, the flaming arrows that he shoots. Now, Ephesians 6:16 says, in addition to all this, and Dr. Vanessa, you know, showed us what the what the armor of God is and how we should wear it in Ephesians 6. But in verse 16, it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. In the New International Version, it's flaming arrows. That you take up your shield of faith and you quench or extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So the enemy shoots a fiery dart, a flaming arrow, a thought that's contrary to the word of God, and you have a choice. Will it ricochet off your shield of faith? Will it just that doubt, fear, and unbelief, that thought of negativity, that thought of hopelessness, that thought of depression comes? And does it meet with a shield of faith in God's word and ricochet off? Or does it embed and penetrate and saturate your mind and consume you to where you entertain it and go down a negative path? 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, or in the King James Version, the word is imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, yes, every thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. To allow your thoughts to go unbridled is being disobedient to Christ. We have to discipline our thoughts. We cannot allow every thought that hits our mind to just stick there and ramble around. We have a responsibility on what we think about. Well, in 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, in the Amplified, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are mighty, and they will overthrow and destroy strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God. And we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Well, I want to look at that word reasonings for a minute. Because I found that I'm a great reasoner. How many reasoners do we have in here? I can analyze the thing to death. And you know, God did give us a brain for a reason, and that's excellent for problem solving, you know? I helped my husband get that rusty screw out of the very old shower head the other day. I mean, we got the WD-40. I mean, we were both in there, you know? So he gives you a brilliant mind to problem solve, and that's great. But that same reasoning faculty that God gives you, if you will allow the enemy to get involved with it, you will drain out any ounce of power from helping you at all. So let's look at that reasonings for a minute. You know, in Luke, the fifth chapter, verse 17 through 25, Jesus was ministering here. And I don't know if I'm going to read the whole context, but I'm going to read part and then probably tell you the rest of the story. But basically, he was in an area to minister. It says in verse 17, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. That's pretty amazing. They'd come out of every town in those areas. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Who is it present to heal? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. His power was present to heal them. And I can imagine that there were some Pharisees and some teachers of the law that really needed to be healed. Would you agree? If they're coming out from every city. So his power was there to heal them. Jesus was on the scene. And then it says, behold, some men brought a bed with a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Now, I tell the story to this with the kids in children's church using four little segments, and we make it walk along and we lower it down into the roof and we sort of act it out, which is really awesome. This man, you know, had incredible friends that would bring him to hear the word of God. They were so determined to get him in there to hear Jesus that they tore apart the roof. They tore apart the roof to get him in there. It says they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, they had action with their faith. They were determined. When he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. Wait a minute, he wasn't talking about healing here. The man was paralyzed. He said, your sins be forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. They began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And immediately he rose up and walked away, totally healed. Now you can't see forgiveness. Can you see forgiveness? You can't see forgiveness. But Jesus was wanting them to know very clearly that day that he was the Son of God and that he did have power to forgive sins. And so by saying your sins are forgiven and then the man being totally healed, it was obvious that he did have power to forgive sins. He was very clear that he was the Son of God. Some people try to say, oh, he just called himself a prophet. No, he was very clear. He was the Son of God. But then they began to reason among themselves. Wait a minute. This is blasphemy. Who is he? And you know, it doesn't say anything in the passage. It goes on the next passage. He's off someplace else with the disciples. But it doesn't say that any of the scribes, the Pharisees, or the teachers of the law got healed that day. It doesn't say that. You know, in Matthew 13:58, it says that in Jesus' hometown, in the town of Nazareth, that he could not do any mighty works there because of their unbelief. He was the Son of God. Everywhere he went, people were healed. You could touch the hem of his garment and be healed. But no one could get healed in Nazareth because, after all, he was just Joseph and Mary's son. He was the son of, he was the carpenter's kid. He was the local boy. So how could he heal anybody? And unbelief stopped the power of God in Nazareth that day. Unbelief stopped the power of God this day from reaching the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law because they reasoned. This is how it works. You'll hear a message on healing. You might be in a nice atmosphere like this, hearing the word of God in the area of healing. And immediately your mind says, but cousin Martha didn't get healed. She was a good Christian. And when you begin to reason, wait a minute, I know of this time that it didn't work and that time that it didn't work. And gosh, I don't know. After all, you know, God wants everybody else to be blessed, but not me. And you go to reasoning in your mind and you will reason out the power of God from ever reaching you, ever affecting your life, ever doing anything in your heart. When the power of God may be there. I've been guilty. I've been in healing meetings. And I didn't really like the way that person that was operating, and this is years and years ago, hallelujah, I've been delivered, but I didn't really like the way that person was dressed that was doing the healing ministry. I don't know, God seems to pick interesting characters to use. You know, I didn't think white suits were that cool, or, you know, whatever it was. And so sitting in the audience, I'm going, he's kind of strange. Did I get my healing that day? No. Everybody else is jumping out of wheelchairs, and I'm like, God, how could you use him? Because I went to reasoning and analyzing, how could God use someone so strange? After all, God only uses proper people. We're laughing. We should be saying, ouch. And this is how it works. God's word goes forth, and then you've got to figure out if it's for you or not. And does it hit when the arrows come, of the flaming arrows of the devil come, does it hit a shield of faith, or does it penetrate into your mind and cause you to reason and figure out and drain out the power of God? We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to do what he wants to do in our hearts. Amen? We can't side in with the enemy. So we're not going to reason away the power. Amen? It takes a humble heart to receive what God has for you. That word reasonings in the Greek is the word dialogimeo. Dialogimeo. I'm probably not pronouncing it right. But it's where we get our word dialogue. We also get another word logic from that word. And it's to reckon thoroughly, to deliberate, to consider, to dispute, to muse, to reason. And it's okay to reason, as I said, and to analyze when we need to in the natural realm. But when the truth of God's word goes forth, we need to receive it with faith. Amen? As our pastor always says, 2 + 2 doesn't always equal 4 in God's economy. 2 + 2 works in math. It equals 4 in math. But 2 + 2 is whatever God wants it to be in your life. And so it's not always this plus this, therefore that. My husband's always acted like this. My kids have always been like this, so therefore. And the devil will take you down that dark path. But that's you reasoning and you figuring out what the future is based on circumstance and actions that you see at that present time. But that is not factoring in the God equation. And there's no faith in that. So we have to walk in faith. Amen? You know, Joyce Meyer says it like this, and I think it's so good. She says that just because you come to a conclusion in your mind that satisfies you and seems to answer the question in your mind does not mean it's God. See, many times we're kind of anxious about something. I'll give you an example. Maybe there's someone that we really esteem around here, this like a really strong, you know, Christian woman. And you just think, oh, she must just walk on water. And so maybe you're working with her in a project, or you're having to be talking or walking by her one day or something, and she's just having a bad day. And so immediately your mind says, what did I do to offend her? Gosh, I don't think I made that last volunteer meeting. Maybe she's mad at me. You know, and you go around in spin cycle trying to figure out why you maybe got the cold shoulder or whatever it is. Maybe it's something your husband said. And all day long, you're like, why did he say that? I better check his cell phone. See, I don't have that problem, but I minister to some of you guys. And so your mind goes around and around and around until the devil helps you land at a logical conclusion. But it can be as far as the east is from the west. It can totally not be the will of God or the answer of God in that situation. It just satisfied you. And so, you know, you're vacuuming. Your mind starts going there. And by the time you're done going there, you're sitting on the couch and you're crying. You're depressed. But where you went with your mind, 2 + 2, it's got equal 4. My kids are going to be like this. They're doing that. Oh my gosh. Worst case scenario. You're down the road. And the devil put a ring in your nose and led you there. We were talking at our table a few weeks ago. And many times, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to get there. It's all good. It's all good. Point number one. Identify the lie. Identify the lie. Sometimes we don't know exactly where the lie is that we've yielded to. But a good place to look is, what fruit does the thought you're thinking about produce? Very simple. You don't have to know a lot of scripture. You don't have to have been coming to the Rock for a long time or in an amazing Bible study like this. If you're vacuuming or you're washing dishes or you're driving wherever, and all of a sudden you start feeling hopeless about your situation, you start feeling depressed about your situation, you start feeling anxious about your situation, your feelings are a product of your thoughts. So the devil has shot a flaming arrow to you, a fiery dart. He probably did the initial one, like, you know, your kids are going to do drugs or, you know, whatever it is. And then you pick up on it and you entertain it and you think on it and you dwell on it and you mull over it and you reason and you calculate. And if the end result is doubt, fear, unbelief, hopelessness, depression, negativity, it was from the devil. Don't kid yourself. It was from the devil. So when you feel yourself start going there and all your feelings come in to accommodate that, stop. You might not know a lot of scripture, but just stop and say, wait a minute, this is taking me down a dark path. I'm getting very depressed about my situation here. I'm putting up my shield. I'm going to respond in faith. Maybe you don't know a lot of scripture, but know enough to say, no, devil, I'm not going there. If all you know is God, you are good, you say, God, you are good. You say, God, you are good. And you turn your thoughts back to him. And you know, you don't have to know a lot of scripture to just begin to praise him. I praise you, Jesus. I love you. I thank you. You're so good. You want only good things for me. You begin to worship him and praise him and thank him for everything good and wonderful in your life. And that lie has to flee. That is the shield of faith being put up to extinguish the fiery dart. And the word of God is called the water of the word. So extinguish the flaming arrow with the water of the word. Amen. So number one, identify the lie. And if you know, sometimes we're all overcoming. We're all at different places. And, you know, God showed me one time that many times there are paths in our thinking. There are like ruts in our thinking. Rabbit trails, my husband calls them. Sometimes I say, I wonder why he did that. And he'll say, don't go there. He knows me. Praise God, I have a godly husband. He knows me. So don't go there. You know, that first question, why did that? Don't go there. And I go, okay, praise God. I have an awesome husband. But many times because of wounds that have happened in our childhood, and praise God we have a program like Breaking Free here, but many times there's been things that have gone on in our lives living on the planet. If you've been unscathed, you were in a bubble somewhere. And now your bubble's bursting. Now you're probably really having problems. But some of us, we've got some calluses. You know, we've got some scar tissue. Helps us a little bit. But anyway, when I lived in Oklahoma, I went to school back there. I would visit my sister in Kansas. And she lived way out in the boonies, way outside of town. Population 950 in this town. They had one stop sign in the middle of town. Not even a light. But anyway, to get to her house, a lot of times they wouldn't re-gravel in the spring and summer. So it would be a muddy road going to her house. Well, in the winter, with the rain and the snow, the water would just saturate this muddy road. And because trucks and stuff would go on, it would create these big ruts in the road. Well, then if you came to visit her around spring or summer, if they hadn't fixed those roads, there were very deep ruts. And if your wheel on your car went down in those ruts, it would do damage. Either sometimes you couldn't get back out, or it would scrape the bottom of your car. So you're trying to manipulate around all these ruts. What God showed me sometimes is we've got these patterns of thinking that they're like ruts, that it's very easy to go down. You know, your car tires are just wanting to go down that rut, you know, the lowest place of gravity. And because we've got some wrong patterns of thinking that we've thought on, you know, oh, I'm just so this and I'm just so that, or if only. And we've just got these rabbit trails in our thinking, wrong patterns of thinking that are like ruts. And the devil knows that. He's been around you for a while. He might not know everything about you, but he knows what you go for. You know, and there's things, that's why the Bible says that the sin which so easily besets you. See, what you might go for, it's not an attack for me. I won't go for that. It's kind of like playing with a rattlesnake. I'm not even tempted to do that. But you, it might be a temptation for you to go there. Maybe you've been attacked with a low self-image, and all the devil has to do is just jump on your shoulder and say, you know, they didn't invite you to the party because they didn't like you, or whatever. And they might have spaced and just totally forgot about you. Nothing to do with, you know, you. Something wrong with them. But the devil will say, see? And you'll go down there because there's a rut in your thinking that just is so easy for you to just go down that rabbit trail and just entertain that thought and go down that dark path. So in identifying the lie, the Holy Spirit will begin to help you to open the eyes of your understanding and show you where that is a lie that's caused that rut. That's a lie that you have listened to. And that's why I love this Bible study. It is so healthy. It is so food for my soul. Because the anointing of God is here. And sometimes Pastor Deborah, whoever's ministering, can be talking about something totally different. But the Holy Spirit will open my eyes and I'll go, oh my gosh, I've been listening to a lie. How many of you can attest to that? You're all sitting there nodding. And when he opens your eyes to see it, then you've got the enemy in that area. You've overcome in that area because truth has come in, the light has cast out the darkness, and you have been set free in that area. Now here's the deal. Maybe you're yielding to a lie in some of your behavior, your wrong thinking that you're not aware of. Might be obvious to everybody else, but you're not aware of. All you know is there seems to still be some bad fruit in that area, or you still seem to go down a dark path, and you need the Holy Spirit to expose that lie to you. I would say to you that this is a good prayer for you to pray. Philippians 3:15 says, therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise. The King James says, and if in anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this to you. I have prayed that so many times. Father, if in anything I think otherwise, if in anything my thinking is not your thinking, reveal it to me. You said you would reveal it to me, and he will reveal it to you. He will bring the darkness to light and allow you to know what it is and to to put it under the blood. Number two, we have to replace the lie with the truth. I believe Pastor Deborah actually ministered the same point a few weeks ago. We have to replace the lie with the truth. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, we need to change, ladies. We need to change. How many need to change? I need to change. I pray so many times, God, change me. He says we can be transformed. We can be changed by the renewing of our minds. It says, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want the good and acceptable and perfect will of God in my life. How many want God's will in your life? You can walk it out. You can have it in your life by allowing him to change the way you think, to renew your mind. And when your mind is renewed, your mouth is renewed. When your mind is renewed, your actions are renewed. The bottom line is, when your thinking is changed, you are changed. This brought so much hope to me when I first came back to the Lord when I was in college. I'd been plagued with depression for years. It would come in like a dark cloud, sit there sometimes for 2 weeks at a time. I wouldn't know how to get out of it. I felt totally hopeless about my future because I never knew when the dark cloud was going to move in. Well, I came back to God, got filled with the Holy Spirit. That thing was broken. It's never been back since. That was 35 years ago. Now listen. Listen to this. The thing that brought me hope was, see, I had an identity problem. I didn't like me. But I felt powerless to change. I was taking psychology courses. I was reading every book I could get my hands on. But I hadn't come to God's word because I didn't realize all the answers were here. I was raised in church, but the pastor never applied the word of God to my everyday life. I didn't know you could do that. I thought it was just about getting saved and going to heaven someday and not drinking. So I wasn't drinking. I was just doing drugs. But anyway. But when I read this verse, I preached it for years. Somebody gave me a Bible with it engraved on the Bible because it seemed to come out in every message. Because it brought such hope to me that I could change by changing the way I thought. By thinking God's thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And your thoughts can be conformed to the word of God, the will of God, and therefore it can change you. His word will change you. So we have to replace the lies with the truth. Our minds are not made to be a vacuum. There's no such thing as a vacuum in your mind, as Pastor Deborah taught us. We have to replace the lie with the truth, with God's word. Knowing his word will help you identify the lie. And the more you get into the word, Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of his word brings light. Study it anywhere. Just open it. That's why I tell the kids in children's church, it's a magical book. Because within the very words themselves is released the power to live it. It's not just a little daily devotion. Are you kidding me? It's not little Bible studies in children's church. It is the very power of God, the spoken word of God that created everything we see, and it could create your situation. You don't have a house. God wants to create a house for you. You don't have a good relationship with your husband. God wants to create that for you. So you get into the word of God, you open it. There's so many times I just open it and it's like, oh, you open it and you submit your mind to it and you read the word of God. And many times you can be over there in the baguettes in Matthew 1. And there's anointing on the word of God. How many of you saw the book of Eli? Oop, I'm making a sidestep here. Well, it's very violent, you know. I don't know. I'm not really, you know. But the message of that, the value they put on this book, I'll tell you, that part of the movie was exactly right. If I was going to be stranded on a desert island with not one thing, give me a Bible, I'll make it. I'll be fine. So you open the word of God and you get into the word of God and the light comes and God shows you how to make a wise decision. God shows you where you're missing it. God shows you where you're listening to the lie. And you give your mind to the Word of God. And when you find what the Bible says over the area you're struggling with, maybe it's, we use healing as an example a lot around here, and I'm there. You find every scripture on healing. And when you know the Word of God, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That causes your shield of faith to go up. And when the flaming dart comes that says everybody else can be healed except you, you say, no, my God's not a respecter of persons. Because you read that in the Bible. No, he said himself took my infirmities, bore my sicknesses, and with his stripes I am healed. Sometimes you have to get an attitude, you know, if nobody else is healed, I'm going to be healed. I don't know why some people aren't healed, honestly. I don't know why we can preach an amazing gospel message that will literally give you eternal life. 10 people can be listening to the same situation, the same message. 6 can go forward and 4 won't. I don't know why. That boggles my mind. But it's still an amazing message. It's a true message. Just because somebody else, it hit with unbelief and they couldn't receive it, that has nothing to do with the message. So I'm going to let the message cause faith to rise in my heart. And I'm going to respond, and I'm going to please God, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I say, God, you know, if I never see the end result, I'm not going to be concerned about that, because I know I'm pleasing you by standing in faith. Amen? Are you getting something? So we replace the truth. We replace the lie with the truth. With the truth. I love John 14:26. It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. And see, if you get the Word of God in your heart, then you can be out in the workplace. You can be out in the neighborhood. You can be having intense fellowship with your husband. And the Holy Spirit will bring the Word of God to your mind. Now, if there's nothing in there, he doesn't have anything to work with. But you put the Word of God in there and he'll recall it to your mind in the moment that you need it. Amen? Now, this is the verse I wanted to take you to. Our point number 3, speak the word, the truth. Speak the word. God wants me to really emphasize that today. Speak the word, the truth. Hebrews 4:12 is when I was talking about this Bible being like a magical book. I want to read this in the Amplified. Hebrews 4:12, I believe it's on the overhead. It says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. Listen to this. Making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life or the soul and the immortal spirit, and of the thoughts and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. This Word of God, the Word of God, the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power. These words are alive and they're full of power. And they will make you active. They will make you operative. They will energize you and cause you to be effective. If you're battling depression, negativity, start your day getting into the Word of God. The Word of God will energize you and cause you to go forth. And that water of the word will quench any flaming arrows that are coming around your way. There's three things that speaking the word does. And I want to camp here for just a moment. And I know I need to go. But there's three things that speaking the word of God will do. Number one, it will bring faith to your heart. As I quoted already, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Many times people say, Pastor Sue, pray for me. I just don't feel like I have faith for this. If you need faith, get into the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Look up scriptures in the area that you feel you don't have faith for. If you want a good marriage, look up every scripture that tells you how to be the wife you need to be. Don't focus on everything your husband's not. Focus on what you need to be to adapt yourself to him. That's what we're supposed to do. And so as you get into the Word of God, faith will come to your heart. Faith will rise in your heart to believe God for what it is that you need. It's the shield that will protect your heart and will keep you from hurt. Number two, it will renew your mind. As I just read, Romans 12:2. It'll bring faith to your heart. It will renew your mind and cause you to think like God thinks about your situation. And number three, it will change the situation. It will create a world around you that never was. And as we read at the beginning of this message, Hebrews 11:3 again, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. I say it's not mind over matter, but it's mouth over matter. Put your mouth over the matter. Whatever's going on in your life, begin to speak what God says about that situation. And when a flaming dart comes to your mind, a flaming arrow, extinguish it with the water of the word. When the lie comes, replace it with the truth and say, no, devil, you are a liar. The word of God says, the God that created everything I see says, with Jesus' stripes I'm healed, says that my husband is a disciple taught of the Lord, says that my children, I've raised them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, so when they're old, they will not depart from it. You say what God says. And you change your world and you have what God wants for you. Did you get blessed today?